Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Happy New Year to the outstanding Neil Coulon. Sir, welcome. Happy New Year, sir.
Can you not hear me?
I can now hear you.
All right, good. Well, Happy New Year.
Yes.
That was the main message. We didn't miss a whole lot there.
No, it's all right. We're all good here. In this state where the Eagles have dominated for 2 years now, is it safe to say the Steelers are playing better than the Eagles right now?
Yes. That's a weird question. To say, if we were to go back, we're going to tell Neil, August of 2023, entering the final week of the season, the Steelers led by Mason Rudolph will be outplaying Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. And frankly, it's not even really debatable. Yeah. I don't know how President Neil would have been able to handle that. But overall, yeah. I mean, I don't, you get asked this a lot now. I'm sure the Eagles coaches are sick of having to answer this week in, week out. But I don't – nothing is working for them. It's falling apart. And that's something you see here and there. It is a team, though, that's going to get the benefit of the doubt. They're not a team that – you want to have to play. At some point, you feel like they're going to get it together and get back on track for, to be the type of team that they are. But I've said that 5 weeks in a row now, and it's gone downhill for them. We've seen this in the state of Pennsylvania. I remember back in 2020, the COVID year, the Steelers were winning game after game after game. It was like, this is not going to last, just the way that they were playing. It was obvious that it wasn't going to work for a whole lot longer. And then they lost 5 of 6, including getting boat raced in the wild card game by the Browns. That kind of seems to be a similar trajectory to what the Eagles have been on. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to anybody, but they've got a lot of questions and not enough answers right now. And they're going to need to pull something out pretty quick because their season is about to end. It wasn't that long ago that they were legitimate Super Bowl favorites. And they have the talent for that, but yeah. It's not coming together anymore. And they're going to need to figure out something.
Why does this work at the moment with Mason Rudolph?
I have watched the last 2 games multiple times. And honestly, bear with me. This is going to be one of my crazier analogies. The story of James J. Braddock, Cinderella Man.
Yep.
He's a pretty good boxer. He's got things going for him in life. He's happy. The depression hits. He breaks his hand later on fighting for food, essentially. There's no money to be had. He's got to work with a broken hand, broken right hand. So he develops his left. And with that, he becomes a completely transformative fighter from what he was, and he can't be stopped. Nobody can really explain it except for the fact that now he's able to fight as twice the guy that he used to be, hence the name Cinderella Man. He came from absolutely nowhere. Mason Rudolph took, from his last start, that brutal tie against Detroit a couple of years ago, in that time, with no playing time, he calmed himself down incredibly. If you watch his body mechanics, his feet in particular, he's calmed himself down. And with that, he's become a completely different quarterback. And I promise you, I am not the only person saying this. There are scouts and there are league executives that are looking at Mason Rudolph right now like, that's not the guy that we saw before. Can we call him Cinderella Man? Sure. I mean, it's you know, the value of that is really going to matter going up against Max Schmeling here this weekend. But for who he is, for what we've seen, he's completely reinvented himself. And the best example of that is the best throw we have seen from a Steelers quarterback this season, which is the 34, 35 yarder or so that he hit to Pickens that really put the game away. Not to take anything away from Pickens. It was a phenomenal catch. Everybody's focusing on the catch. You have to look at what came to that. The throw that he made, the first word that I thought of was Roethlisberger. He stood in the pocket. He stood tall. He had no room. Top of him, with the exception of his direct personal space, that is the only space that he had available to do anything. He didn't bail. He didn't protect the ball. He stood tall. He was a big guy. He was like 6'5". He stood tall, and he put the ball out Pickens enough. You can almost hear Rudolph as he's throwing it. Not too far, but not too close, because the defender is there, and it's a foot race. You don't want to give the defender an opportunity to make a play on this. It needs to be in bounds, but it needs to be Pickens or nobody else.
Right.
And he put it, I mean, you know, if you really want to get technical, 6 inches closer to Pickens would have been a better throw. But it, where he was, where the pressure was coming in, how crowded that was, that's an incredible throw. You can't take that away from him. And we haven't seen a Steelers quarterback make a throw like that in a long time. I mean, it was perfect. In any way that truly matters, it was a perfect throw under duress in a big moment. It was the clutch play of the Steelers' season, and it sealed the game. They were able to put it away at that point and get back to what they were doing, which was, you know, just ground it out. And it wasn't a game that they asked Rudolph to do a whole lot, but he did everything. He didn't make mistakes. In two games in a row, I felt he threw pretty much everything on the money. You know, nobody ever throws everything completely perfectly. He threw everything on the money, and he came up big when the team needed him to come up big. I mean, I you know, they gave him 6 carries or 5 real carries. He was pushing the pocket with that. These are things that we just never saw from Rudolph before. And you really have to ask yourself, it's fair to say, and Tomlin made no bones about it this week at all. He just said flat out, Rudolph is starting. And easiest decision he's made all year. You have to ask yourself how impressed they are with him and what this new offensive, you know, dual-headed coordinator position can do with a quarterback that's just simply executing what's there and being perhaps a little bit more aggressive with the ball. And that's what Rudolph has done. Now, I'll say all of this and point out that I'm 90% sure the Ravens are not going to allow the Steelers to win this game this weekend. They're going to play their guys. And he's going up against the hottest defense, the hottest team in the league. I don't think he's going to have it as easy as he did. But all eyes should be on Mason Rudolph this weekend. Right. This is the guy to watch, the pending free agent that's completely resurrected his career.
I mean, it's obvious moving forward it's going to be Kenny Pickett as the quarterback. It's not going to be Mason Rudolph's not going to beat him out unless he somehow stays and beats him out in training camp. But what does this do for Rudolph moving forward, just because one of the keys to me, if you're not a star in this league, is to keep your career relevant. What has this done to keep Mason Rudolph's career relevant?
It's an excellent question, and I'll call you out on this. They will not bring Mason Rudolph back to compete with Kenny Pickett in training camp.
Yeah, right.
Because somebody is going to pay Mason Rudolph a lot of money to not be necessarily just a sole backup. Look around the league. To this point, I don't know the exact number, but several teams have had to go to their third, if not their fourth, quarterback. I watched something called Jaren Hall start for the Vikings this weekend because Nick Mullins was so bad in their previous game, Hall had to start. They gave Hall a half and mercifully took him out of the game to put Mullins back in. Right. How much money is a solid, experienced veteran quarterback with a hot streak that he's on worth in the open market? Right now, you look at I forgot his name. The guy with the Jets, now with the Dolphins, I think, Mike White. He's getting $11, $12 million a year.
Oh.
Rudolph is absolutely in that market. The Steelers are not bringing another quarterback back for that money, considering he just played the way that he played. He's able to ask for more from the Steelers, and it's going to be pay me so I can be the starting quarterback because you didn't make me the backup because of the guy you paid last year. And look at what that got you. You're in the playoffs if you played me instead of Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky is gone. He's out of that market now, and Rudolph is going to replace him. Add in the value of the backup, honestly, $13 million, $14 million a year is not out of line for the top-level backup-ish quarterbacks in the NFL in this market. The Steelers are not going to be able to pay that. You know,
if
they've got Trubisky, which is not a good salary for them to take, I don't know how they are going to take that, but they're going to have to wipe out the rest of the room with the exception of Pickett, or they're going to have to give Rudolph the job based on what they'd have to pay him to keep him. That's the question of the offseason now, and it's the most surprising question I think I've ever had leading into a potential season finale or a potential regular season finale. What they're going to do with Mason Rudolph, there's a huge amount of weight behind that now because he is worth astronomically more than what he used to be, and he might be one of the top three quarterbacks on the market.
Right, and again, in that spot's invaluable. Jack Ham and I still, you know, kid each other about Cliff Stout when he was with the Steelers. Didn't play it down. He's getting rings. I mean, it's a great spot to be in, without question. All right, so Baltimore has played not well. They legitimately are playing great all-around football right now. And we've talked about Lamar Jackson before. But I want to talk about their defense for a moment. There are certain positions that are devalued today by, I have no idea why, but running backs devalued, yet they're touching the ball left and right. Linebacker is somewhat devalued. Wait until I look at Baltimore. Queen, Smith, how good are those linebackers, and what do they mean, the fact that they're on the field every down?
That's a fantastic point. It's one I've been yelling about for however long. What the Ravens don't have in terms of their skill position players, they've loaded up into these alleged devalued positions. And they've invested capital in those to the point where it's to use a baseball metaphor, they stack their defense up the middle. So they've got good interior defensive players on the line. They've got two good inside linebackers, roving linebackers, and they've got, in my opinion, the best safety in the game in Kyle Hamilton. They're cutting down the seam completely.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to make big plays against the Ravens. So you have to go the long way against them all the time. And they have a very versatile, explosive offense that, oddly enough, got better when they had to rely on somebody other than their tight end. You know, when Mark Andrews is out of the picture, and I'm a huge Mark Andrews fan, when he's out of the picture, Lamar opens things up a bit more. And he's allowing not the play to dictate where the ball is going, but the guys on the field. He looks like a completely different quarterback from what we've seen in the past, and even just this season, the last 6-7 weeks, which is when he, you know, clinched MVP. I don't think anybody else is going to get a vote anymore. He's distributing the ball a lot of different places. You know, Zay Flowers is a good story. He's a good player. You've seen a lot more things out of Bateman. Likely is doing well in Andrew's absence, but it's balanced. Lamar is really the guy that's making all that go, and I don't think that was necessarily so much the case with his passing before. Mm-hmm. It was his running ability that terrorized the league up until now, but he's become a pure weapon, and that's why they're just running teams off the field now Right. Because it's impossible to stop him when you've got him dialed into where everybody else on the field is. And it's truly remarkable season overall, but in particular the last couple games. At the risk of hyperbole, I don't know how many teams in the last 10, 15 years we've seen play better than the Ravens have the last couple weeks.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I don't know who beats them the rest of the way. That's a pretty obvious statement, but I don't think it's going to be particularly close either.
And yet, here's the interesting part: the Ravens with Lamar Jackson at quarterback are 19-1 against NFC teams. The one was the loss last year to the Giants at MetLife when Saquon Barkley at the end slid at the 1 yard line and ended the game. Against the AFC North, where they're used to seeing him all the time, it is a fight to the finish in every game. Why do the Steelers match up with Baltimore? Because they already beat them this season.
To be fair, I don't know how anybody struggles with the Steelers in a lot of ways.
I know, and yet Baltimore
they
does.
That hex. And Baltimore,
yet Baltimore does.
Probably more than anybody.
Yeah.
I have picked Baltimore to win the last six games, and Pittsburgh's won five of them. I really don't know how Baltimore has not done that yet, but I get the feeling Harbaugh is going to want some revenge on that coming up. To be fair, I think a lot of it is they try to play Lamar versus Watt in a lot of key situations. They try to outthink him. They try to outguess him because he's the playmaker. You can get him to move one way with the idea of doing something behind him, but Watt never falls for the trap. If there's a game that you want to watch of T.J. Watt's to really highlight his Hall of Fame credentials, it's pretty much any game against the Ravens.
Yeah.
Don't give me statistics. Watch him play. Right. He has to defend the run very aggressively, and he has to be perfect in that, and he always is. He plays extraordinarily well against the Ravens. That's a big component of it. And to be fair, I like Lamar Jackson as a player. He's phenomenal. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's an evolutionary player. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make the best decisions all the time. The last game, he made a couple really bad decisions. His receivers didn't help him out, but they did some dumb things down the stretch of that game. It just seems like they get a little too far ahead of themselves. Baltimore beat themselves this past game this season. Mm-hmm. Lamar playing the way he is playing now is not the same type of guy I think that the Steelers have seen up to this point. That doesn't mean that they can't stop him. They're pretty beat up defensively. This isn't a good matchup for anybody in the NFL, let alone the Steelers that have plumbers and firemen playing in their back seven right now. They're gonna struggle to contain Lamar to the point where they're able to lock into a receiver everywhere he is on the field and try to make plays. You can't play man against Lamar Jackson, so they're going to have to do more zone. That's not going to be a strength of theirs in this game. It's a tough matchup. I don't think it was as readily obvious previously as it is now, and then the Steelers have gotten away with a little bit in the past. And credit them for playing the game hard, not flinching against a great player and containing him the way that they have. But this one's going to be tough.
It will be, but I'll say this. Plumbers and firemen are aggressive, and they will tackle.
Some of them anyway.
Well, I did not say they had the ability to get there, but if they were there, they would tackle.
I'll tell you, Coach, I wasn't 3 yards away. If I was right there, I would have taken him down. Yeah, that's the Steelers' second half of this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Happy New Year, my friend. Appreciate it. We got a lot to talk about this coming year.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to every single one of them. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Neil. The great Neil Coulong. A new year, 2024. Same old Neil. Except I feel like he's each week improved. Like, I can't say the same old Todd. I feel like you improve every week.
We're trying.
I mean, we're all over. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV. Motorcycle. Whatever it may be. They'll do everything they can to save you money. And they will do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured. They're the pros. Happy New Year from them to you. All at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So the game's over. Jack is going to be flying out, and my flight, I had tried to get my flight changed to an 8:55 on Saturday night, just to get back, and it was all unavailable. The next flight available was 5:30, and at that airport, between you go to security, then you got to go and take the train, and then you finally get over to the concourse. They're like, there's no way I can make that. So I kept my flight, which meant I stayed at the hotel. Okay. So Jack and I go back to the hotel. He had to get his stuff, and then boom, okay, he takes off. He goes to the airport because he had a flight back to Pittsburgh. And I wanted to meet up with my good friend Gary Goloshevsky. And Gary was there with his wife Amy, his son Jack, and his daughter Elizabeth. Gary's daughter Elizabeth is one of the co-captains of the Lionette Stance team. And also there was Molly Neal and her son. I saw Julian Brian Rader. And Randy Isles wasn't there, but Randy I'd seen earlier. These are people I'm around all the time. So all great friends, close friends. So I said, hey, let's meet up, get dinner. Right? And the one place, oddly enough, I had not been, Todd, the entire time I was there was the sports bar. Right? And so I said, where are you guys? We're in the sports bar. I said, great. Okay. So I go over there, get dinner. Okay. We're watching the end of Florida State, Georgia. We actually watched it. Right. Just like, but we're talking about 1,000 other things as we're doing it. It was just really background. You talk about opt-outs. And the game's over. So I finally make my way back to my room. And I'm watching the Cowboys and the Lions game. Okay, great. Then all of a sudden, around 9:30 or so, I hear, and I'm on the 25th floor, okay? And I hear, pop, 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 pop. I'm going, what the heck? I'm thinking, who's, it's December 30th. Who's firing fireworks now? So I was sitting right next to the window at the time. So I just got up, pulled the curtain back. There's shooting in the street. Like the pop, pop, pop happened to be a gun. I'm like, what the heck? And then I'm standing there stunned looking out at this like, you got to be kidding me. All right? And then the police show up in mass. I counted 11 police cars, two ambulances, and one hearse. Now, fortunately, the hearse was not needed. In the end, two people were wounded in this. And
Because somebody said, hey, do you want to go out and meet us outside the hotel? I said, nah, I really would rather stay in the hotel. That was not the reason why I was going to stay in the hotel. But it's the reason I'm going to stay in the hotel down there from now on. I sat there and went, you have to be kidding me, Todd.
Well, just be glad you didn't go out, because imagine where you could have been coming back in.
I mean, yeah. I mean, 9:30 at night, this is not something that happened after midnight or anything like that. You know, we always say, you know, bad things happen at 2 in the morning. This was 9:30 at night. And I'm just, I'm standing there at my window looking out. Now I'm on the 25th floor, so I'm in no, I mean, you know, I'm about as out of harm's way as harm's way gets, right?
Somebody pointing up at you.
Yeah. All right. And I'm like, you have to be kidding me. And, you know, and this is a prime area. I mean, it's not just the Marriott Marquis there, but the Ritz-Carlton is there. I mean, you know, the Hyatt Regency, they're all, a lot of hotels in this area. Now, this was not out, you know, I think this was across from either the Hilton or the Ritz. I've stayed at the Ritz because we stayed there for the NCAA tournament. But I just went, you have to be. And they were there, and they were there for hours. And then every once in a while, I'd get up and glance down and see how it's going. And, you know, you could see them out there because it was at night. They were out there with flashlights. And, of course, the flashlights, they're looking for a couple things. They're looking for evidence, and they're also looking for shell casings. You know, it was really, I thought, you have to be kidding me. I mean, I've been in New York where they've had protests take place in Times Square. I'm like, okay, I'm on the 20th floor. I can hear you. I got it. I was like, oh, jeez. Todd, it was just one of those, wow, like, you have to be kidding me moments.
And just probably had to do a double take to make sure you're seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah, it was, because again, when I first heard, I probably in the end heard between, I'm going to guess, between 10 and 15 shots. And so the first like two or three, I thought, who is shooting off fireworks? It's December 30th. Like, it was the 31st. I don't even know if I would have stood up. Right?
Yeah.
And I heard pop, pop, pop. I'm like, where are the fireworks coming from? So I just got up to look out my window, and I'm like, I look down, I'm like, and of course you see flashes of light, bang, bang, bang. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. That was a little different.
Yeah, it's that's not the normal story from a road trip, I assume.
No, I think staying at the Marriott in Lansing is not going to be quite the same.
No, probably
that's
not.
That's Thursday. Now, I will be in Philadelphia Saturday night, so yeah. All right, transfer portal. You have until, because Penn State played on the 30th, and I pointed out this date 1,000 times, so this is not like, ooh, it's brand new news. You listen to the show all the time. You've heard me say that January 4th was the day. And, you know, this is a nervous time for any coach. I mean, you know, position coach, head coach. I mean, nobody can enjoy anything anymore. You know? I mean, you can't. Think about that. Hey, great. You know, it's like Penn State won the Rose Bowl. I said, wow, great. All right. Okay, we'll enjoy, like, this second. Now we have to worry about, okay, what's happening in the transfer portal? Are we going to lose anybody? It's like, holy. I mean, roster management is just so difficult. So difficult. And that is over and over. I know you get paid a lot of money, and of course, you know, everybody makes a big deal about, you know, how much money James gets and so forth. You know, it's fine. everybody acts like the university pays all of it. They don't. Yeah. Now, for example, I'll give you an example of a guy that should go into the transfer portal that did. Okay? Jake Wilson. Jace Tutty was the same thing. Now, he should be in the transfer portal. Right? He is a walk-on football player who, by the way, I think is a heck of a football player. Right? But he's not going to move up the ladder. Right? I mean, Jace Tutty ended up, by the way, at Youngstown State, just so you know. But Jake Wilson should go into the transfer portal. I want to see him play someplace. You know, and he may have to do exactly what Jace Tutty did, right? You know, get to a place like maybe a Youngstown State or someplace like that, or a Delaware, or you know, someplace, you know, to play, because he'll play there. Here, he would have no shot. He was on special teams every game, and Jake is a good, good football player. That's the kind of guy that should go. And as I pointed out, it's, you know, I said it 2 weeks ago. I think I said it even 3 weeks ago. People ask when's the portal close? Well, because Penn State's playing on the 30th, their portal closes 5 days after the game, so it's January 4th. And so now you wait and see if, you know, who else will go in. But this is the nervous time. You know, you don't know what's going on out there with people. And the tampering part, I know that Rich Rodriguez, the head coach at Jacksonville State, talked about tampering. Well, look, it's real. I can tell you it's real. And the numbers I hear, I'm talking about not the number of players, like the financial numbers, right? You would be staggered by. There's more going on with this stuff that coaches have to manage all the time. And Todd, you made the point about agents. No question the agent is pushing a lot of this. No question. And so are the families. And I think one of the... the Jets are going to release Dalvin Cook. Oh, gone. Okay. What happens is for young people, like they're impressionable. 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. 22-year-olds, where somebody gets in their ear and saying, hey, you know, you're not being used right. You could be playing more. You got to get to the league. You know what I mean? Over and over again. And football is different than basketball. Basketball, in a lot of ways, because of the calendar plays a lot in how things play out in basketball. But for example, Todd, you're an excellent basketball player, right? You probably be, hey, Todd, you know, you got to go to the NBA. You can opt for the NBA draft. And guess what, Todd? You can go to the NBA Combine or the G League Combine in Chicago. And then you get individual workouts with teams. And then you have until, I think it's 2 weeks before the draft, two and a half weeks, to pull your name out and go back to school. And what did you accomplish by, okay? What did you accomplish by going to the draft? You got evaluations from pros about where your game is and isn't. Fresh set of eyes. Where do you fit on the next level? You get all of that by entering into the NBA draft. Because you can pull your name out and you can go back. College football, when you put your name in and January 15th comes and goes. You're in. That's it. You're done. The calendar plays a big role in what happens in college football. And now that part, there isn't much you can really do about it. I mean, I would like to see room for guys to go through the combine in March and pull their name out. I would like to see that. But what do you do? Schools are at 85 scholarships. What do you do at that point? See what I mean about the calendar? See, it's the end of the school year. You have more time until you get to the fall semester. So basketball has that leeway that football doesn't have. But football needs to do something about what happens at this time of year. Now, I just say the heck with it. Just go to 16 teams now, right, instead of 12. Because you're going to get the best players playing because they're going to play in a playoff. And also the time frame, because you're going to go the opening weekend, December 2021, better. It's better. Okay? Because it's closer to the end of the season, closer to the end of the semester. You have finals come into play. But, like, for example, you're essentially done at that point. Commencement is, in fact, that weekend for Penn State. The 20th and 21st will be commencement. So, your finals were done the week before. So you're not going to have players opting out of playoff games. Although the backup quarterback for Texas, put his name in the transfer portal, ended up with Manny at Duke. But everybody else stayed. And that's why I was talking about the insurance policy part. Hey, it shouldn't just be that the player has to come up with the insurance policy. It shouldn't be just the school. The bowl wants you to play in the game. The bowl needs to come up with the insurance policy for you. And they should have a pool set aside to do just that. And the pool should be based on what the NFL draft grade happens to be. They don't have to reveal the number, but they need to get it from the participating teams as to what the number happens to be. He's projected to be a first-round pick. He's projected to be a second-day pick. He's projected to be a third-day pick. He's projected to be Kevin Herr. Okay, he gets no money, no insurance, and we don't want him playing. At all. Might we suggest the portal?
It was a late stray.
Yeah. Now, does that solve everything? No, but I think by offering that, they give themselves a better chance of protecting the players going into the game to play. Now, the college football playoff, once they get around to the new TV contract, because there's two more years to go on this deal, once it gets to the new TV contract, I expect there'll be multiple TV partners, because the idea is to double the money. Well, maybe part of doubling the money means that you have to then collectively bargain with players as to what a stipend should be for them to play in these games. Because you are now asking a lot. Yes, it's, okay, the first round's a bowl game. Oh, wait a minute, now I'm in the quarterfinal, I'm not playing a second game. Oh, hey, we won. Now I'm playing a third game. You could end up playing four extra games. Oh, and if you were the team that ended up losing your conference championship game, which means you're probably playing in the first round, that means you'd be playing five games past what you normally would play. You could play up to 17 games. It's got to be something for that. That's a lot to put on the line with your body. And the system needs to have some order to it. Right now, in college football, there is no order to the system because they relinquished it. There is nothing worse than cowardly leadership. Welcome to the NCAA. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Todd, great to be with you.
It was a good show.
I mean, Matt was able to. I don't know if this ended up being cathartic for Matt or not.
I'm not sure he got enough out.
I don't either. He may have to call back tomorrow because. I spoke at one point only so he could breathe into the bag. I just thought it would sound bad on the air. My goodness, WKOK, it sounds like they have an obscene phone call. No, that's Matt breathing into a bag. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Probably not first time somebody breathed into the bag.
Back tomorrow, Thursday show from Lansing, Michigan.